So what if I told you there was an incredibly easy way to reduce your stress, to build your character, to improve your physical health, your ability to overcome difficult circumstances? You would all want to know what it is, right? You'd want to know, okay, yeah, I want some of that. Well, studies and research and science has found out and discovered that having an attitude of gratitude, or actually having a lifestyle of gratitude, does all of those things. It does all of those things. Now, before I get all self-help book section on you like Barnes & Noble, let me just say that the Bible has actually said the same thing long before science and research has shown this. The Bible has told us that this is good for us long before research has shown us this. See, the Bible knew what was good for us even before we knew what was good for us. In Psalm 9:1, it says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." There's a story about a thankful leper in Luke 17 where Jesus heals 10 lepers. Lepers in those days were contagious. They had skin disease, and you would ostracize them and cast them out of the community, and they would not be welcomed back in the community. So Jesus heals 10 of these lepers, and only one comes back to Jesus to give him thanks. Jesus heals these 10 lepers and says, "Go to the priest and have the priest declare you to be clean, officially clean, thereby welcoming you back and initiating you back into the community." Because God doesn't want any lone rangers. God doesn't want anybody ostracized or marginalized. He wants everybody to be part of the community, to actually participate. And so he says, "Go to the priest and have them officially make you clean, and then you'll be welcomed back into your community." Guess what happened? They went to the priest. "I'm so thankful for what you did for me." And Jesus is like, "Well, what about the other 9? He's like, "Well, I don't know about them." See, the question I want to ask you today is, will you be one of the few who actually come back and thank Jesus for what he's done for you in your life? Because most people receive the good things that Jesus has to offer, but very few people actually come back and thank him and look to him and see him as the foundation for any basis of gratitude that we have in our lives. So will you be one of the few, like that leper, to come back and actually thank Jesus for what he has done in your life? He is the foundation and the basis for all of our gratitude. It's all found in Jesus. It's all found in his death and his resurrection. And it's only in him that we have life, that we're made alive again. See, the Bible conveys this idea of always being thankful in any circumstance. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as you can see from the slide, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In all circumstances, the next one, yeah, there you go. "Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Again, we see over and over in Scripture, in Ephesians and Colossians, it says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians 2:7, it says, "Rooted and built up in Christ, we're strengthened in our faith, and we're overflowing with thankfulness." So there's this consistent idea where gratitude is something that a Christian is supposed to have. And gratitude is actually a moment-by-moment choice. Gratitude's a moment-by-moment choice. Every moment you have to decide, what am I going to do with this present moment? Am I going to complain? Am I going to be resentful? Or am I going to actually honor God in this moment, in how I live and how I think? Gratitude is being aware of the present moment, which in and of itself is a gift. Let me ask you, are you doing anything right now to earn the very next moment? Are you doing anything right now to earn your very next breath? Did you do anything to earn the fact that God gave you grace to wake up today, that gave you another break, another day to live, another breath to breathe? Did you do anything to earn it? No, you didn't. It's all a gift of grace from God. And every time we're aware of that, God imparts his grace more and more into our lives. He softens our hearts. He gives us a renewed ability to do what God has called us to do because our hearts are softened. We are in right relationship with him. We acknowledge him as the creator, as the maker, as the giver of life itself. And from that foundation, from that basis, we can then, in humility, go and live the life God has called us to live. But when you lose sight of God, when you are unaware of God's goodness to you, then you get caught up in your own circumstances. It's too easy to get focused on your own little
world, and you get caught up in your own little box, and you're like, God, I got this test next week, my family's in shambles, and all this stuff is going on, and you have no ability to see the bigger picture, and to look up and look at the stars and look at everything else going on, and to be grateful for all the things God is doing in the world, even though you might be in this little box where your whole world feels like it's falling apart. God says, I want to get you out of the box. I want you to see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture of what I'm doing in the whole world and how you could be a part of that. And be thankful that you're even alive today. Be thankful that you don't have cancer. Be thankful that you're still breathing. If you have health, if you have nourishment in your body, if you could enjoy a meal like that, you are part of the 0.01% of the world. I mean, think about it. Think about the rest of the world, how lucky we are. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. But are you aware of it? I love what Brené Manning says. He talks about how the real difference in the American church is not between conservatives and liberals, fundamentalists and charismatics, or Republicans and Democrats. He's like, the real difference is between the aware and the unaware. When somebody is aware of the love that the Father has for Jesus and for us, that person is spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life. It comes out of who you are. It comes out of your heart. Cries of thankfulness. It's just a natural part of who you are. And I love this next part. He says, it's the byproduct of gratitude is joy. And he says, we're not joyful and then we become grateful. We're grateful and that makes us joyful. It's not that we're joyful and then we become grateful. It's because of our gratefulness, we actually become joyful. It's a byproduct of gratitude. It naturally happens. Your joy comes as a natural byproduct of being grateful in your heart, in your life, in your mind, as a consistent way of living. And I know you're going to walk out of here and be like, oh, what was the sermon about? Oh, I just need to be thankful more often. I guess that's all Kevin said, is just be thankful more often. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's pretty much it, yeah. No, there's more to it, so keep listening. But gratitude may be one of the most overlooked tools that we have at our disposal to increase our productivity, to reduce stress and anxiety. In fact, science and research has suggested it's good for our mental health. It reduces a bunch of toxic emotions that are the result of envy, resentment, frustration, and regret. It increases happiness and reduces depression. It promotes overall well-being. It's been linked to better grades. It helps you sleep better. It can strengthen your relationships. It benefits the heart and improves your overall physical health. It protects you from too many negative emotions with extreme loss. But I want to hold up on this point right here. It protects you from too many negative emotions that come from extreme loss. It's good to grieve. So I don't want you to think that, oh, well, even if my brother passed away last week, I need to be thankful for everything else going on in my life. It's good to grieve. It's okay to grieve. There are circumstances in our life that are super, super hard and devastating and make us cry out. And that's a good thing. God made us people who are sensitive, people that absorb the negativities that go on in our world. And it is very healthy to grieve from the depths of your soul. So if you have experienced deep loss, if you have experienced things that have made you be like, I don't know if I could keep going, it's okay to allow your soul to cry out and cry those tears of groaning. That's a good, healthy thing. So I don't want to just be wishy-washy about this. Be like, oh, you always be grateful. There's always something to be grateful for. Oh, no big deal. Your brother died, no big deal. No, it's okay to grieve. It's good. It's healthy. But gratitude enhances empathy. It reduces aggression. It improves self-esteem. It helps you become more resilient as well. You're like, well, all of that sounds amazing, dude. But what am I supposed to do about it? Well, what I want you to know is that being thankful for anything is first and foremost a result of what Christ has done. It's a result of what Christ has done for us. And some of you guys might be thinking, well, I just need a breakthrough. I need something to happen in my life to break through my situation because I'm stuck. I feel stuck. But I want to tell you that God has already given you the greatest breakthrough you could ever possibly want. He had broke through the chains of sin and death that left you in bondage, that left you in fear, that left you a slave to sin. He broke through those things. When he broke through the door of the grave, he set you free from anything that ties you down, from anything that holds you down. So if you say, I need a breakthrough, look to Christ and what he has done. He defeated sin and death through his death and resurrection. He already broke through the grave. There's nothing left for you to need a breakthrough beyond that. That's enough. If Christ never did anything else for you for the rest of your life, you ought to give him thanks and praise every single day for the rest of your life, even if he never did one more good thing for you, because what he's already done for you is enough, is more than enough. It set you free from any spiritual bondage, from anything that holds you back from fulfilling your destiny, from any type of mentality, whatever it might be, that holds you back. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'll never get a girlfriend. Whatever those thoughts come into your mind, it sets you free from all of that. I'm not a good enough athlete. I'm not smart enough. I won't never get into that school. I'll never transfer to that school. I'll never get this job. I'll never make this much money. God has already broke through the grave and he set you free from far more than negative patterns of thinking. So remember that. Whatever breakthrough you need, it's already been done. He broke through the grave. Being thankful for anything is first and foremost about Christ and what he has done for us. Now, you can't control your circumstances, right? Circumstances happen. You can't control that, but you can control how you think about your circumstances, right? You can't control what's going on in your outer world, but you can control how you think about what's going on in your outer world. And I love how Carl Lentz put it. Justin Bieber's pastor, you know, Carl Lentz. Any of you guys like Justin Bieber? Okay. Carl Lentz, Hillsong, New York City. He says, you can't choose your seasons, but you can choose your spirit. You can't choose your seasons, but you can choose your spirit. C.S. Lewis puts it like this. God knows our situation. He will not judge us as if we had no difficulties to overcome. What matters is the sincerity and perseverance of our will to overcome them. He knows our situation. God knows your situation. He knows the obstacles you faced. He knows the family situation, the inner dynamics of your childhood, whatever it be. He knows your situation. He won't judge you as if you had nothing to overcome. What matters is your perseverance and your sincerity of your will to actually overcome them, to actually be resilient, to get up from that pit and move beyond those circumstances to become who you're called to be. Consider this story about a man who was injured, badly injured, in a hospital room, and he noticed something outside his hospital room. He says, I had a severe cervical spinal injury. The pain was so excruciating that the hospital staff couldn't do an MRI unless I was significantly sedated. The MRI showed significant damage at three major points. Because of the swelling of the injured nerves, the only way I could relieve the pain was to use a strong prescribed narcotic and to lie on bags of ice. Sleep, what little there was, came only by sitting in a reclining chair. Approximately 48 hours from the onset of the injury, doctors estimated that I had lost about 80% of the strength in my left arm. Three fingers on my left hand, totally lost feeling. About halfway through the experience, I was sitting on the screened-in porch behind our home. The day was cold and blustery, but I needed a change of scenery. Suddenly, a bird landed on the railing and began to sing. On that cold, rainy day, I couldn't believe any creature had reason to sing. I wanted to shoot that bird, but he continued to warble. He continued to sing, and I had no choice but to listen. The next day, I was on the porch again. But this time, it was bright, sunny, and warm. I was tempted to feel sorry for myself when suddenly the bird, at least it looked like the same bird, returned. And he was singing again. Where was that shotgun? I thought, I want to shoot him again. But then it hit me. The bird sang in the cold rain as well as in the sunny warmth. His song was not altered by his outward circumstances, but it was based on his inward condition. It was based on his internal condition. It was as though God quietly said to me, you've got the same choice, Bob. You could be like that bird and sing no matter if it's sunny or rainy, or you could just let your circumstances dictate how you act, how you behave, how you look at your situation. You've got the same choice, Bob. You'll either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude will rise above the external circumstances. You choose. I want to be like that bird. I want to sing, whether it's rainy outside or it's sunny outside. I want to be singing because the outside does not determine the inside. I don't have to have everything settled in my life in order to be settled inside, right? You don't have to have everything settled and everything figured out in your future and everything lined up and all your ducks in a row in order to have peace on the inside. That's not why Christ broke through that grave. He broke through that grave to say, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. I've given you all that you need on the inside. You have everything it takes to succeed on the inside right now. If Christ is living in you, if you have Christ inside of your being, you have all that you need at this very moment to overcome whatever challenge you're facing today. And guess what? Whatever challenge you're going to face for the rest of your life, he's already given you everything you need. Are you aware of that? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, you need to open your hands and open your heart to God for a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit to allow him to fill you with his peace and presence once again. Now, I shared a few verses earlier, but the verse I want to focus on today is in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, and it's up on the screen here. It says, let the peace of Christ, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ or the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, a couple of things I want to point out is that first, the peace that comes from Christ, not the peace that comes from the world, the peace that comes from Christ. Second, always be thankful. Continually be thankful. Another thing I want to point out is the message of Christ. This word message is word, the word of Christ. For us, it would be what we know about Christ from his word, the Bible. Let it dwell in your lives. Let it fill your lives. Let it fill your lives. So verse 16 here says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, we talked about this last week when we talked about the will of God, right? God's will for your life. Whatever you do, whatever you choose to do with your life, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So what Paul's saying is, I want you to put off despair and I want you to put on hope. He's saying, put off the old man that you were. Put on the new creation who you now are. He says, put off the old self, put on the new self. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? He's given you a new identity. He's saying, you're not that person you were. Put off that old person and put on the new person, the new woman you are, the new man that you are. Put off despair and put on hope. Put off regret and put on determination. Put off entitlement and put on gratitude. Oftentimes, especially our generation, we live with this sense of entitlement. I deserve it. I know I haven't earned it, but I want it, so therefore I deserve it. I got it coming to me. We live with this sense of entitlement. I don't know, I've been there before where I felt entitled to many things, and God had to just slap me around and make me wait, 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 and I'm like, yep, I'm not entitled to those things. It's all a gift of grace from God. And I think he wanted me to learn some lessons along the way, along my journey, to realize just like the 9 lepers left Jesus and went to the priest and never came back, the 1 leper came back, bowed at his feet and thanked him, to realize I need to be like the 1 leper that comes back and thanks Jesus at his feet. I don't want to be like the 9 that never thanked him ever again. Just got my healing. I got what I need. I got my white picket fence, my 2-story house and my kids and my wife, my husband, whatever it is, and I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to thank Jesus anymore. Sure, I'll go to church on Sunday mornings once in a while, Christmas, Easter, but I'm never going to be like that person who goes back and bows at his feet and thanks him. I'm going to be like the 9 lepers who just continued on their way. No, that's not who God wants you to be. That's not who God wants you to be. When I was in Europe, there's this funny story. I was traveling around Europe with some friends, but they wanted to go to Salzburg, Austria, and I had already been there. And I was like, well, I want to go check out a new city that I haven't seen yet. So you guys go ahead and go to Salzburg. I'll go to Munich. So I went to Munich, Germany, or I think I went to Munich that day. Maybe it was Zurich. But we ended up meeting in Interlaken, Switzerland, right, at this hostel. And so it's like 3 a.m, they walk in, and I'm stoked that they walk in because we spent like all this time together, and then we separated for about a day and a half, and we checked out other cities, and they walked into the hotel room at 3 a.m. I was so stoked that they were back because I hated traveling around Europe by myself for a day and a half. It was fun. It was much more fun when they were with me. So when they walked in, I was so happy. I was so happy to see them, and I literally said, like a little kid, I literally go, I'm so happy, like that. And I said it really weird and funny, and they were busting up laughing because it was just like, I don't know, I probably didn't say it that weird, but I said it funny, and ever since then, they always remind me, like, hey, Livy, I'm so happy. But I really was. I was so happy in that moment because I was reunited with my friends. It was fun. It was great. I enjoyed that. But on that same trip, my friend, everywhere we went, she wanted to take these pictures and put an Instagram filter on these pictures. And apparently with Instagram, I wasn't on Instagram at the time, I am now, but it enhances what you see, right? It enhances, it filters the bad and brings out the good, and it enhances everything you see and makes it better. It makes it better. It makes real life better, enhanced. It filters it. Well, gratitude is like a filter to life. Gratitude enhances what you see. Gratitude leaves the bad and brings out the good. Gratitude is a filter to life. So the next time you put an Instagram filter and you're trying to make the sunset appear even better than it is, when I post a sunset, when you guys see that, that's no filter. That's just my sunset, Laguna, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, whatever. That's just no filter. But I don't put hashtag no filter because my friend's like, nah, don't put that. That's like, you know, it just makes you seem like all haughty, like, oh, look at me, no filter, you know. So I don't even put no filter, but there's no filter on there. My point is, the next time you want to put a filter on your Instagram photo, I want you to think, why am I trying to make this better than it is? Why can't I just be present, take a deep breath, look out, and enjoy it for what it is? I wish there were more clouds. I wish it was more pink, more purple, more red, whatever, the sunset. No, let the sunset be the sunset. Enjoy it for what it is. Gratitude is a filter to life. It enhances what you see. It makes everything better. It enhances your life. It strengthens your life. It strengthens your inner being. Now, I want some of that. I want to live a better life because of that. So this passage in Colossians, we learned from verse 15. It says, it is the peace of Christ that should rule in your hearts, right? So we enjoy this peace, and we are thankful, and we want to live for him as a result. He says, it's the word of Christ that should dwell in us richly. Well, we enjoy the riches of the Bible. We enjoy the riches of his word, and we sing gratefully. We sing out of grateful hearts. When we're worshiping God, when we're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God, we sing because he's already loved us. He's already given his life for us because he's still working in us. Like I said, even if he never did another good thing for you, you'd still have reason to praise and give him thanks. But the fact of the matter is, he continues to do good things for you. In fact, Romans 8:28 says, he causes all things to work together for our good. So, it's not that he just died and rose again. It's that he continues through his Holy Spirit to make your life better, to enhance your life like a filter enhances what you see on Instagram. He continues to work in your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, giving you the power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That means if he could overcome the grave and Roman soldiers standing outside of the grave and bust through that door, then he could overcome any situation going on in your life. Because God himself lives inside of you, and he gives you the power to overcome and be resilient to no matter what obstacle you've ever faced or will face in the future. So the point is, this next slide shows, this is what I want you to do. I want you to choose to be thankful every single day, every moment of the day. Choose to be thankful. The next time you want to be bitter, be envious, have resentment in your heart, I want you to stop, be aware of your feelings, say, you know what, I'm feeling really bitter right now. I'm feeling really envious right now. I feel like I don't want to be happy, or I don't want to be happy for this person because this person just has this great thing happen to them on Facebook or Instagram. I don't really want to be happy for that person right now. I want to be bitter and be like, why me? Why not me, God? Why not me? Observe those feelings. Look at them like you're looking at something from arm's length and say, I'm having this feeling. I'm having this thought, this feeling of resentment, this feeling of bitterness. But that's not who I am. That's not who I really am. That's not my true identity. I'm going to let this moment pass, and I'm going to choose to be grateful for what I do have, for what God is doing in my life. Maybe you're not where you want to be yet, and you feel those things often. Well, you have a choice. You could choose to be envious and bitter and allow those toxic emotions, those cortisol hormones that flow through your body and actually wreak havoc on your organs and your nervous system and cause you to die earlier. Stress and anxiety will kill you. Hatred and bitterness and not forgiving somebody will kill you. You could choose to allow those things to overflow your system, your nervous system, and all the other things that it touches. Or you could choose to be grateful and allow yourself to be more happy, reducing your stress, and choosing to let those feelings pass, choosing to let those moments pass and saying, you know what? I might not be where I want to be one day, but I know God is working all things together for my good, and God is up to something, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I have more reasons than I ever have had before to be grateful. I don't care what's happened to me at this point. I have more reasons than I've ever had before to be grateful. If you look back from where you came from, and you see where you came from. You came from here, right? This is where you came from. This is a timeline on your life. Let's say this is a timeline. This is where you came from. Now you're over here. You're way over here. And you look back and be like, I was way back there, but now I'm here. But I want to be right here. You want to be right here, but God brought you all the way back from right here. So you're 90% of the way there. Thank God for how far he's brought you. Don't be upset about the one step or the 10% more that you have to go. Thank God. Be grateful to God for how far he's brought you along the way. But oftentimes we get so focused on the future that we only look at the two steps, the 10% left, and we say, God, I don't care about what you've done for me in the past. What have you done for me lately? It's kind of like when a team wins a Super Bowl. You're like, it's cool. They won the Super Bowl. Cool. And then 2 days later, you forgot who even won. 2 years later, you don't even know who even won. It passes. What have you done for me lately is what our culture is all about. And God's like, will you be just like the 9 lepers who left and never came back? Or will you be like the one who isn't like the culture and comes back to thank me? Look how far I brought you. Look at how far you've come. And you're complaining about the 10% left. You're still so young. You still have so much left to go. Choose to be thankful every single day. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. When you close your eyes and do this little exercise, I want you to think, after you take a deep breath, I want you to think about 5 things that you never thought of before that you're truly grateful for, that you're truly thankful for. 5 things that you never thought of before. So we're going to take a minute in quietness and stillness to do that. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Maybe you don't feel like you have anything to be thankful for. You could start with the very air that you're breathing. Even in the simple things, we ought to be thankful. Don't reserve your thanksgiving and your praise to God only when you're in a good season of your life. Be thankful for the difficult circumstances too, because you know what? Oftentimes when people look back over their life, it was in the difficult circumstances where they actually changed the most, where God actually showed himself up the most, where they actually felt the presence of God the most was in the difficult times. I know that's been true in my life. It's during the difficult seasons are the seasons where God has changed me the most. Because oftentimes when we're on the mountaintop, we forget about God. God is no use to us when we already have it all going on. Why would I need God? I'm doing quite well, thank you very much. I don't need God. I'm on a mountaintop. It's human nature to do that. I've done it. We've all done it. But in those valleys, in those low places, thank God even for the difficult circumstances, because you know that he causes all things to work together for your good, especially if you choose to be thankful in the low valleys, in the hard times. That's when God will honor you even more, because that's much harder to do than to be thankful in the good times. So gratitude helps us enhance what we see. There's no need for Instagram filters when you have gratitude. Gratitude is like a filter to life. It makes life better. Will you pray with me? God, we're thankful. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for what you've done in our lives. We're thankful for what you're continuing to do in our lives and in our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here, that you'd fill us with your presence, you'd fill us with your peace, and you'd help us to remember who we are and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I pass it off to the worship team, I have a little list here that I wanted to just mention. And I want these words to just wash over you. And if you want, you can close your eyes and just take this in, or you can leave them open, it's okay. But I want to remind you who you are. And I want to remind you who your God is. So listen to this. This is all from the Bible. You are God's beloved child. You are Jesus's friends. You're a whole new person with a whole new life. You are a place where God's Spirit lives. You are God's incredible work of art. You are totally and completely forgiven. You are created in God's likeness. You are spiritually alive. You are a citizen of heaven. You are God's messenger to the world. You are God's disciple maker, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are greatly loved and cherished. You are justified and redeemed. You're no longer a slave to sin or death. You are set free from the bondage of sin and death. You are a new creation. You are chosen, holy, and blameless in God's sight. You're a citizen of heaven. You're predestined to obtain an inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you have a destiny to fulfill. You're God's work of art, his beloved child. And who is this God? He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last, the author and the finisher. He's the bridegroom. He's the breath. He's the beloved. He's the boundless, the Christ, creator, the counselor, the conqueror, the center, cornerstone, comforter, crucified. He's the dwelling, deliverer, defender, divine. He's the Emmanuel, El Shaddai, everlasting, eternal, encourager. He's the exalted. He's Elohim. He's father. He's friend. He's faithful. He's the foundation. He's the guide, the great, the glorious, the gracious, the gift, the giver. He's the holy, highest, hallowed, humble, hiding place, hope, healer, helper, Holy Spirit. He's the great I am. He's the incarnate word of God. He's the immortal, incomprehensible, incomparable, infinite, invisible, infallible, invincible, ineffable, indwelling, intercessor, inspirer. He's the Jehovah, the judge. He is Jesus. He's the king, keeper, the key. He's the Lamb of God, the Lord, the light, the love, the leader, the listener. He's the Messiah, the maker, the creator. He's the Most High, Master, the Mighty, the Morning Star. He's new. He's the nearest. He's the nourisher. He's the nurturer. He's the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, only begotten, the Omega. He's the prophet, priest, prince of peace, protector, provider. He's the quietness. He's the redeemer, the resurrection, and the life. He's the refiner. He's the refuge, the righteous, the radiant, the rescuer, the rewarder, the ruler, the rock, the restorer. He's the Son of Man, the servant, the Savior, the shepherd, the sacrifice, salvation, the Spirit, the sanctification, the strength of our lives. He's sufficient. He's supreme. He's slow to anger. He's the triumphant, transcendent, transformer, teacher, treasure, truth, trustworthy, Trinity, three in one. He's the uncreated light, unchangeable, understanding, undefeated, unhurried, unforgetting, unfailing, unhindered, unlimited. He's the vine, the victory, the voice. He's the way. He's the water of life, the word, the wisdom, the wounded. He's Yahweh, and he's yours, and he's zealous for you. So remember your name, remember who you are, and remember who your true God really is, and be thankful. Be thankful. You know God. You know who you are. You have an identity in Christ. You're a new creation. You were bought with a price. Your life is not your own, for you were bought with the price, 1 Corinthians says. There's a destiny, there's a calling that you and you alone can fill in your life here on earth. Thanks, God.
Yeah, if you guys just want to stand up again, we're just going to worship out of that. Just acknowledging who God is and that we just love him for that.
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed.